We're not here to endorse, enforce, change your course. We're not doctors, lawyers, or professional counselors or therapists. Please call those folks directly. This show is meant to get us all comfortable with thinking about our deaths, with thinking about a plan for our loved ones after we've departed, and an idea of what we believe. In doing so, we're forced to look upon our lives. When we do this, we leave with a little more thankfulness, a little more love for ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, and what we've accomplished so far in this short period on Earth. Okay. Welcome to the Kauai Death Cafe. I'm Jenna, and I'm in studio with Susan. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Jenna, and everybody.
Hope everybody can hear us. For some reason, I can't hear myself coming through here right now. But today, we're going to have a caller call in who has a diagnosis. And a lot of times, we discuss diagnosis as sort of the first part of dying. How does that sound to you, Susan?
It sounds interesting because that is the beginning stage of looking at our life.
Yeah, and I think it's not something that we think about very often. I mean, you just don't feel well and you go to the doctor for your checkup or what have you, and then you leave with a diagnosis and you're expecting it to be a head cold or whatever it might be. In the case of my friend, he has a cancer diagnosis. So that is the beginning of a long haul into reflecting on life and then looking at what his life will look like moving forward.
And coincidentally, I have a friend who just got diagnosed a couple of weeks ago, and she's like the healthiest person I know. And so it is really ponderous to wake up every day and think, what must she be thinking, and how do you work with this when it's just pops up out of nowhere? So this is interesting for me to hear this gentleman who I haven't, Jenna talked to, but I haven't, so.
Yeah, I've known him for a number of years. So he's a person that confides in me on different things, you know? So it should be an interesting conversation because he's been very open about talking about it, which is what led me to asking him, hey, you want to come on the show? So it should be very interesting. Anyways, how about anything else? How was your week there, Susan? Did you face anything hard?
Yeah, I got a dog bite. It wasn't life and death, but it's just pondering how we just never really know what's next. I guess that's the big thing that's in my mind.
Yeah.
This week is like, you can't change the future, duh, and you don't know what's happening next. So no. It's really, again, at my age, I like to always say that. It's
absolutely.
It's much more real than just thinking it like when you're young, Jenna.
Well, shoots. I mean, it all the things that we've been surrounded with lately, I mean, you know, you can walk into peril pretty easily, even if you are young.
Yeah.
And that was another thing that I kind of thought was interesting about this conversation today. My friend that's going to call in has had somewhat of a scattered past where he has faced life without, like, feeling very omnipotent and like he's going to be, like, he has outrun death numbers of times, probably even daily at a certain point in his life, because he's been involved in drug addiction and, you know,
gangs,
you know, and that kind of affiliation, and really having, you know, that bravery or that ego that says that, you know, I don't care if I die. And now, once you're faced with this diagnosis, you know, he is sort of embodying and starting to care more about his death and what that might look like. Where before, he just thought, you know, it'd be quick and easy because he'd just be shot or killed or wake up dead or overdose, you know, and all of those things that we were putting, he used to put in his basket as way, the way, his way of life, you know?
Yeah, lifestyle.
It's interesting. Yeah, because it was his lifestyle. But also, it's like a person who signs up for the military and knows that that's a possibility too, you know? And you approach everything with this bravery and this ego of bravery, you know? And when you get a diagnosis for something like cancer, yeah, you have to be brave through this. But the timing of it all is, you don't know when, you know? You don't know when the cancer is going to get so bad that you can't walk and talk and breathe anymore. So.
Yeah, it's ponderous.
I think it's very interesting. My friend is 68. Is going on 69, or no, maybe he's going on 68, because he's the same age as my mom. And you know, for 68 years he's looked at life and death in a completely different way than he has in the last few days, even, you know.
That's probably true of all of us. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about it and you know it's there, but it's not, it's hard to imagine. Even when you do have a good diagnosis.
Oh. It's something that, again, it can only become true to us when it's in our emotional intelligence, when it happens to us, you know? I had a cancer scare once, but it ended, you know, I had a diagnosis, then they do the biopsy, and then they're like, you know, gonna call you back in 2 weeks and let you know what your real outcome's gonna be. And luckily, at the end of that 2 weeks, it was a benign tumor. But I still had to think about that for 2 weeks. You know,
I had one of those too. Yeah, doctors seem to come up with that.
Well, I guess a tumor is a tumor until they grow it, or right. Whatever.
Mine was a spot on my lungs, and I had to wait weeks to see and ponder. Okay, if this is it. Yeah, just to be thinking about it in reality, not just as a hypothetical.
Yeah. Mine was, I was pregnant and the baby had turned into tissue and the placenta had turned into a giant tumor.
Whoa.
So it was all hormone receptive. So they wanted to, so they had to take it all out. And so you had to go through the grief of losing a pregnancy at 3 months. You know, mm-hmm. Which is what it is. And then sit there and grow that tumor for 2 weeks, type it, and then tell me whether or not you'd have to go through chemo and radiation and ultimately even a hysterectomy if it was bad enough.
Wow.
So that's called a molar pregnancy, which was something I didn't even know existed.
Right.
Hey.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, we're going to get my buddy on the phone and leave you with this George Carlin clip for a little while. He's got some comic relief for us all. And enjoy.
Yes, you are. You're all going to die. I mean to remind you of it, but it is on your schedule. Yes, probably won't happen when you want. Usually comes along when you're not expecting. Generally, you have your stamp collection out, you know.
Now?
No. Just want a little time to put away your hinges, you know. No. There's a time to die, and it's okay, you know. It's really okay. Nobody wants to die. Nobody. Well, you know, most people don't want to die. Nobody wants to die. Boy, if you think being sick is no fun, dying is really a pain in the ass. Nobody wants to die. People don't mind being dead. Being dead is great. But getting dead. Nobody wants to get dead. So I hope I don't die. I wonder how often we think that, you know? It's just under the surface, isn't it? You go out for the day, going out of your house, I hope I don't die. It really spoiled the circus. If I were to die, geez, I hope I don't die. Comedians don't want to die. It's only a metaphor, but it's so true of all of us. We don't want to die out there. A comic's going to die. I don't want to die. Geez, I was dying out there. I was dying. It was death out there. And it was like a morgue. I don't want to die. Of course, if the comedian doesn't die, you know, if he succeeds, if he makes you laugh, then he can say, I killed him. I killed him. So it's either me or you, you know. Just like on the freeway. Yeah, dying shouldn't be that bad. It shouldn't be that bad. We're all gonna do it. It's one of the few fair things in life. Everybody catches it once. And dying should be fun. There should be some sort of a look ahead. I mean, after all, when you die, you're going to find out where you go. Haven't we been wondering about that a long time? Where the hell we go? Isn't that the biggest thing we have to wonder about? Where the hell do you go? I don't know. Joe thinks he knows. I know Joe thinks he knows, but Joe don't know. Where do we go? Nobody know. Well, I think sometimes you go where you think you're going to go. Whatever you think you're going to do, that's where you're probably going to go. If you keep saying you're going to go somewhere, chances are you might go there. You ever hear those guys say, I'm going to hell, don't pray for me. Don't pray for me, I'm going to hell. He is. You go where you want to go. I think when you die, your soul goes to a garage in Buffalo. When Monty Hall dies, he'll go behind door number 4. That's it, where you want to go. No, nobody wants to die. And you know, part of the reason we don't want to die is because of that funeral. We've seen it. We know how bad news it is. That funeral is no fun. Man, if I don't like other people's funerals, I know I'm not going to like my own. There's no way I can get behind my own funeral. I'm going to be lying there in a casket. They're going to put me in the box. They're going to put me in a convertible with a top down. You know that's embarrassing, lying there. And everybody's looking at you. You're dead. And they're looking. You're just lying there still. People coming over going. They don't know that you're lying there with short pants on and no back in your jacket. Embarrassed. And sometimes they'll come over, you know, some people, it depends on your religion and so forth, but they do come right over to the casket a lot of times and they'll go like this. And they're silent for a moment. And what they're doing while they're silent is they're subtracting their age from your age. So they get a rough estimate on what they have left. And they get up and they say, don't he look good? Don't he look good? You crazy? He's dead. I know, but he never looked that good. Oh, they say the nicest things about you. They say the nicest things when you die. Your popularity goes straight up when you die. They say the greatest things there are that can be said. They'll even make stuff up if they have to. Well, he was a real asshole, but he meant well, you know? He's a well-meaning asshole. Yes, you get so popular when you die. All the flowers you get. Think of the flowers you get when you die. You get more flowers when you die than you got in your whole life. All your flowers arrive at once, too late. The guys will say, oh yeah, well you know Bill is dead. Yeah, poor Bill. Poor Bill is dead, yeah. Poor Dave? Yeah, poor Dave is gone now. Ed? Yeah, poor Ed is gone. Dan? Thacker is still alive, isn't he? I wish he would die so I could like him.
Everybody always feels a little bit bad when they laugh at George Carlin. At the same time as knowing it's really funny. That was some old George Carlin from 1978. His shtick never changed. Always the same. Hilarious.
Inappropriate.
Inappropriate. Well, my friend called in. His name is Manuel. Let's go ahead and get him on the line. Hold on. See if I can find him. Manny, are you here with us?
Yep.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can barely
hear you. Hello? Whoa. What's going on here?
Let me see.
You know me and these damn phones did not get along. Okay, let me see.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
See, I
can hear me now?
Headphones aren't working. Give me more headphones.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now?
No, I don't know.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can barely hear who's asked that right now. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Weird.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good.
So, not very loudly, but I can hear you.
Getting louder, which is good.
Strange.
Okay,
I don't know why
louder.
I can't hear.
Okay, good. We both got louder.
I don't know why
I can't
hear him.
I think it's my phone. It's an antique.
I have to interview Manny from over there. Hello?
Okay, what are we doing here?
No, I still can't hear you.
What?
Well, of course I'm
having... Can you hear Jenna?
No. I mean, yeah, I can hear her talking to somebody. I still can't hear him.
Okay, well, this is Susan. Can you hear? You can hear me, right?
I can hear you, yes.
But I don't know if you can hear Jenna. Let's see. I could translate for her.
Tell her to talk.
I'm going to have to.
I can hear you now, Jenna.
No, you can't. She's not on. She's not talking.
I just heard her. She was talking to you.
Oh, yeah, she was talking not even near the microphone. Okay, hang on.
Let me see your headphones.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. I don't need them.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Here we go. Okay.
Yeah, I tell you, I can hear you.
Now I think it's working. I can hear
yes,
myself
it is.
Now.
I can hear too.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you. Sorry, we're having a technical difficulty. I'm not surprised. Yeah. Please donate to KKCR.
I ain't got no comment.
We
no
could
comment.
Use some stuff that works around here. Anyway, hi, Manny. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
So today we were talking about diagnosis being the first step of death, and I know that in the last
on the journey to it
on the way towards it. So I'm very thankful for you calling in today and being brave and talking about it with me and sharing your story with everybody. Want to tell me about your life in like 30 seconds?
Well, that's kind of hard to tell. I grew up in a gated community all my life. My parents left me at an institution at 6 and a half, and that was back in 66, and I grew up that way till September 1st of 98. I was figured I was institutionalized, but proved myself wrong, got my shit together. I've been out for 27 years, coming up on 27 years straight now.
Nice.
So I try to help people through my own experiences. So I was talking to my friend, talking about writing stuff down and just posting on Facebook. Because everything I've done is for a reason. The only reason God put me here is there's got to be a reason for me to be in Hawaii. I'd never imagined I would live in Hawaii and not come here from where I come from.
Yeah.
Okay, that's 30 seconds.
All right. So Manny was incarcerated for 27 years. And one of the things that has brought him a lot of solace as he tells his story and he talks about it. And so he's been a motivational speaker for all different kinds of people.
Five years.
5 years?
Yep.
Wow.
Until they offered to pay me money and then I walked away.
Mm.
How come?
Because I do it from my heart. I don't do it for cash. The minute they put money into it, it took away the sincerity of what you're talking about.
Good for
yeah.
you.
Because now you're getting paid to make them hear what you want them to hear. Nah, I'm not like that. Get nobody paid my way, so I ain't going to pay their way.
There you go. Well, so tell me about what happened at the doctor this week.
I was told that they had found a spot on my liver, and I have to go in on the second to get a biopsy and then find out what's going on with it. Right away, I feel fine. I'm good. You know, I had to get some teeth pulled at the same time. Got three of them pulled at one day. because it was contaminated. The bacteria in my mouth was contaminating my blood. Mm-hmm. So they had to pull three teeth. But you know what? Life is what it is. I'm enjoying myself today. I'm sitting out here at Sheraton looking at the people at the beach, and I ain't got no complaints.
Nope.
I really don't.
Yeah. So, you know, you faced death a lot of times in life.
Yep.
Is this any different than any of those other times?
Yeah, because this is kind of like, you know, ahead of time what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't like going to doctors. I don't like going to hospitals. And I always tell a doctor, I said, look, this is what's going on with me. Oh, we're going to run some tests. I don't want the results.
I hear you.
I don't want to know what's going on with me. Just let it take its course. God looks out for me.
Yeah.
You know, it don't make no difference what you do. If God says, hey, he's going to stay there for a while, I don't care what you say.
There's little interventions, you know, but, like medicine, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm starting to take the medications now. But for a long time, I refused to take them. I have taken a lot of different kind of medications.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, we go through what we go through, and we learn what we learn, and then we adapt. And then we look back on what we did and how we did it, and then we learn what not to do and what to do.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it.
Yeah. And I think you're at an age. You're 68. You 68?
I'll be 67. Come on, I'll throw a couple of years on that.
Sorry, Mom. Sorry, Manny. You guys are the same age. You guys are the same age, and I can't ever remember what that age is, even though it's the last number of my age.
So now, I feel good. I'm doing good. I'm in good spirit. I got a good job today. It took me like 40 minutes.
Yep.
And I'm not going to tell you what payment was, but it was like, well worth it.
Yeah. Well, so going forward, we talked about it the other day. What do you think your plans are moving forward now that you know, your window is...
I'll take that as it comes, but I want to do some journaling about, you know, what I've been through and maybe pass it on Facebook or something where maybe another youngster can read what I went through. Because I really believe that we go through, and if we do the right thing, we teach people what not to do by our own experience.
Yeah.
And everybody's not like everybody. I mean, people would tell me, hey, you know that wall is going to hurt, right? And you're running straight forward. I tell you, yeah, but you know what? I got to run into it. I got to feel it for myself. I'm not going to take your word for it.
Well, you have the right attitude.
It's nothing you can explain to me. It's something I have to show myself. I have to prove it to myself. Okay, that hurt.
Yeah.
Don't do that again.
You have to gain that emotional intelligence your own self. No one can.
Well, you know, for a long time, I didn't need to have that much emotional intelligence. I just needed enough intelligence to stay alive.
Yeah. Well, now we said this morning, an examined life is a life well lived, and now you've got enough life under you to go back and examine that and see,
and then use what's positive in it. Mm-hmm. Show them the negative, but then show them the positive.
Yeah, I liked something I heard someone say: don't focus on the love you didn't get. Focus on the love you have.
Focus on the love you have.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, why are you focus? It's like if you're in a meeting, and I was a member of Narcotics Anonymous, Alcoholics Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous, and...
me too, all of them.
So I went to CAA and NA, and everybody told me, why you do that? I said, I don't have to go see the DA.
There you go.
But, you know, it's just like, when people try to explain things to you, it's like, okay. But you have to, sometimes you got knuckleheads like me, you have to learn for yourself.
Yeah.
I think everybody, go ahead.
So hopefully people don't have to do what I do if I can explain it to them and show them, okay, this is the negative part. And then I'm not going to lie, I'm going to tell you, you know what, I've got cirrhosis of the liver, I got hep C, I got all this stuff from all this stuff I used to put in my body. But I've had it for a long, long time. I've had cirrhosis of the liver for like 22 years. I've had hep C for like 27 years. Probably longer. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But people go, oh, you know, they got cures for that. Yeah, okay, well, you know what? God looks out for me. So I really believe that. You know, if I was going to be gone, he'd have took me already.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we
so
talked about you momentarily.
I mean, me and you know some personal things about me that we talked about. If it wasn't for God, I would not be here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, I've almost died 3 times. I came back all 3 times.
Yep.
There's a reason for that.
Every time.
The reason is you have to stay here and endure and pass on what you learned before you go. So every blessing is a lesson, and then it turns back into a blessing.
Mm-hmm. How many times, you know, in your 3 or 4 near-death experiences, how long did it take? When did you figure out what you just said? When did you figure out that God wanted you here for a purpose?
When I got clean and sober after like 8 years, 9 years. See, everything I learned, I didn't learn as a psychologist, psychiatrist, you know. I went to anger management. I did all that stuff in California.
Yep.
But everything I learned from people that did it before me.
Mm.
They were just older than me.
Mm-hmm. It took and you a so second that, to
they,
listen.
They were my teachers. They were my teachers, you know what I mean? That was my nucleus. That was my foundation.
Yeah.
And I, you know, a lot of times I didn't like their advice, but hey, they were right, you know. And I still don't like people when they correct me. But you know, if I'm wrong, I admit it, and I'll tell them. You know, I really don't like being corrected. But you know what? You're right. And I have no issue with that. I claim what's mine, and I don't claim what's mine.
Yeah.
When I'm responsible for me, I take responsibility. But other than that, I don't try to save everybody else's problems, because if I start focusing on people's problems, I'm not going to be able to focus on my own.
Yep, or your own life.
Right.
Well,
so, you know, I'm going to continue to live life as I'm living it day by day. I live life like every day is my last day, because it can be.
Yeah.
I've never thought I would make it this far, 67 years old. Oh, God, that's hella old. Over half a century. Yeah, it's almost a quarter. It's more like third of a century. Oh, never mind.
If you were a cat, but, if you're a tequila plant, you'd be dead by now.
And I'm the youngest of 13 kids.
Oh, wow!
But I'm the only one that went through what I went through.
Yeah,
no one else did. So I have my issues, but you know what? I got past them. I did a lot of journaling. I started believing in God, and then I trust God.
Yep.
So people go, what's the difference? I tell you, you can believe in anything, but do you trust it? Belief is good, turns to faith. Faith is great, but faith turns into trust. And if it's trust, then you know it's real.
There you go. I like that.
Okay.
You have a great attitude, and thank you so much for sharing it with everybody.
You're welcome, Mira.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. I will see you later. Have a good day.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Aloha.
Aw.
Yeah.
Thank you, Manny.
Really?
That was sweet. He's sweet.
There was a story I heard once talk about learning from people. There was a story in an AA that came along once, and this guy said that sometimes people come into this life to teach just one person what not to do.
Yeah.
And he's talking about, you know, a drinker, and if maybe that person drinking protected that child, their child, from ever drinking.
Mm.
I thought that was pretty profound.
Yeah, because it's also taking something really negative and turning it into...
Yeah. Teaching
a teaching moment,
yeah, without even trying.
Yeah,
if it's your own expense, actually.
I seem to get a lot of those. I have a lot of teaching moments,
right? You teach a lot,
they land in
that's for
they
sure.
They land in my lap. Bodhi B is having a teaching moment. He is the Maui Death Store. And he's a nonprofit
mortuary,
but he also teaches death doula classes. He also does these really great talks that you can go to and just sort of listen to him engage the crowd. And he kind of brings out whatever is going on in the crowd and turns it into a discussion. it's pretty cool. I came one time when he was here on Kauai. But Doorway into Light is the name of the kind of class, and it's Facing Death and Nourishing Life, the Teachings of the Three Hearts. And the workshop will start September 29th and run through November 13th.
And I think it's Zoom.
Yeah, it's Zoom. Yeah, I think you can do it in person maybe too.
I'm not sure.
But we'll get more details as it comes closer. But September 29th is when it starts, and it's 7 weeks long. There's two classes a week. And it's a standalone training, and it's also a prerequisite for his certification for becoming a doula. And so he has a bit of a longer doula certification than other places do. And if you have the ability to take that certification here, he actually has you sitting bedside with people who are dying. Mm. So that's what's really different from his courses than some of these other ones. But yes, you can prepare for death and caring for the dying and meeting the dying in the world. Facing Death and Nourishing Life. That's the name of the workshop that Bodhi B is holding in Maui. So we're going to take a break and do a moment of housekeeping for the station. Happy Sunday. Hello, welcome back to Soulful Sunday. This is the Kauai Death Cafe. You're in studio with Jenna and Susan, and we're acting like professionals.
Pretending. Meanwhile, that song was my very first ever Jay-Z song, and it came out all over the North Shore like a giant meme when Andy Irons died. It was that song, and there was one other, which I can't remember right now, but it seemed like everybody was singing it and playing it. It was our song to Andy. Hmm. And then I met Jay-Z on the beach.
And then were you like, I love that song, Forever Young.
You played all over the place around here.
And he's like, who's this lady?
Yeah, who's this old lady
who knows Jay-Z? Rap music?
Yeah, he thought it was pretty funny.
That's cool. I met Justin Bieber on the beach once.
Ooh la la.
Ooh. He was drinking Taco Bell.
Ooh.
Soda from Taco Bell.
I like Jay-Z better.
That would be a way better meet and greet.
Really?
Yeah. Well, we're getting towards the end of our show. We interviewed a friend of mine who has a recent diagnosis of cancer. And one of the things that we didn't talk about was that, and I didn't know this, but he had gone to the doctor like last year sometime because his shoulder hurt and he got an MRI. And they told him at that time that he had a tumor. And he just blew it off. And to the tune of like he actually forgot that he had the tumor. And so this week when he went back to the doctor, they were like, we told you you have a spot on your liver. He's like, you did? He completely didn't remember at all. So, you know, information is traumatic.
Yeah, and a whole year of not having to think about it.
Yeah. A whole year of not thinking about it. Probably wonder if it made it better.
Extra year.
Because they'll give him another MRI and we'll see. That'd be interesting.
Yep.
A friend of mine was really sick, and her mom got sick. And then while her mom was sick, she forgot that she was sick, and so she forgot to take her medication and stuff. And her disease didn't get any worse, but it didn't get any better either. It was just stagnant. And so then when she did pick up treatment again, they were able to sort of come at it in a different means. Mm. And then it went away.
Whoa.
So that was kind of cool. Anyway.
You never know, as they say.
You never know. I just finished watching this series, White Lotus. Have you seen it, Susan?
Yes.
So in the third season, the daughter talks her parents into going on this vacation, you know, to Thailand, and she wants to meet these Buddhist monks, but she doesn't tell her parents that it's because she wants to go and live at the monastery. But the father went in to talk to the monk to make sure that, you know, it was a good alignment for his daughter. And one of the questions that he asks him was answered in a very interesting and clear way. And so I wanted to play that for people to hear. And if you get a chance to watch season 3 of The White Lotus, it was a pretty good watch. For some reason, it's one of those things, it's just like a morbid curiosity. You can't wait to see what this family does. Yeah. You know, like they're a train wreck. Anyway, I guess
that makes good TV.
Makes for really good TV, I think. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so this is the dialogue between her father and the monk at the monastery. Enjoy.
What do you think happens when we die?
When we die? Great question. When you're born, you're like a single drop of water flying upward, separated from the one giant consciousness. You get older. You descend back down. You die. You land back into the water, become one with the ocean again. No more separated. No more suffering. One consciousness. Death is a happy return. Like coming home.
Death is a happy return. That says it.
Well, in the visual, when you're watching the show, is it's a water drop that is going up and coming down. That being the duration of your life. And then joining the water again. And so I watched 8 hours of that show, and that was the best part.
Right.
You can see what I walked away with there. Anyways, our next song is Riverman by Nick Drake. And it almost sounds like the guy at the River Styx going down to see the Riverman. So enjoy this song. It's really ominous and cool and different. So Nick Drake from years and years ago. I have no idea. I'll look it up and see when this album came out, but enjoy. Oops, that's Forever Young Again. Hold on. Welcome back to the Kauai Death Cafe. It's Susan's favorite part, the last 5 minutes. Just kidding. We were going to talk about the song we just listened to called Saunder Too Fast. And right before that, we had Riverman by Nick Drake. Those two songs don't go together, but they're pretty cool. Next week, a friend of mine is going to be in town from California. She works in the surgical unit at Watsonville Hospital. She used to work here in the ER at Wilcox and Mahialona, and then she was a hospice bedside nurse, private nurse for hire, for a number of years. So we're going to talk to her about the ins and outs of some of the things that she learned in nursing school surrounding death, and some of her experiences bedside, because a lot of times as a nurse, it falls on you to go in and talk to the families, especially in the ER setting. Sometimes things are just very, very hectic and the doctor's not available to be right there with families or with loved ones when they are discussing kind of what had happened in full. So that should be a fairly one of those like light on the situation kind of discussions. It'll be interesting to hear what they taught her in medical school about how to console people when something like that happens. And so I think what we'll all walk away with is what not to be mad at the hospital for. Because I think what she's going to say is she didn't get a whole lot of training
they
in that
don't,
area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so. That's this generation now. We're the ones who are changing the way we think it, about it and what we teach about it.
Yeah.
So it's just emerging, I think.
It is. It's a discussion that we're all just starting to have.
Because there's so many of us.
There is a lot of us.
So
there's a lot of us. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today. And we're going to cut out. And hopefully everybody has a great Sunday and a great week ahead. We're on next week at noon on Sunday. So join us again then, and I hope everybody has a beautiful Sunday.
Aloha.
Aloha.